the time? Amen. Well, welcome. My name is Carmen. I'm your pastor of Congregational Care, and it is a great honor to be with you this morning. Do we have any Dallas Cowboys fans in here? How about Green Bay Packers fans? Y'all can have the afternoon off. 49ers? All right. And Kansas City Chiefs. Good deal. Well, I am excited for the game this afternoon. My team is not there, but I still love to sit and watch, and I too will be rooting on the Kansas City Chiefs. So I know that I am the only thing probably between you and there, getting there. So let's go ahead and get started. We're continuing in the Acts series today, and Reverend Shane really has set the scene over the last 4 weeks. We're in Jerusalem. It's a third decade of the first century, and Jesus of Nazareth has been crucified, resurrected, and he ascended. Pentecost has arrived, and Spirit fire has rained down upon the only 120 Christians in the world, and they were empowered with gifts to carry on the ministry of Christ. Peter preached under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people became part of the church that day. The centering text we're using for this Acts 8 series offers a snapshot of an effective, growing, unified, and an empowered church. The early church was formed around four practices and eight characteristics. Those four practices being devotion to teaching, fellowship, sharing in communion, and prayer. And then, of course, the eight characteristics that we're talking about is wonder, miracles, fellowship, generosity, worship, communion, good reputation, and growth. And today we're talking about worship. If we were to ask 10 people, what is worship? Most of them would probably say something about singing in church. This makes sense given that we tend to divide our church services into two, right? So we have our singing first, and then we have our biblical teaching. You know, we're so blessed to have Reverend Don and the worship team as they usher us into worship every week. But the reality is that worship is much more than just great and amazing music. And if we want to honor God, we need to understand the nature of true worship. The Greek word for worship is proskuneo, and it means to fall before or to bow down before, to prostrate oneself or to lay flat face down on the ground in reverence or submission, in total surrender. I've been doing some guest preaching in some other churches. There are two churches in Southern Illinois, and they left the United Methodist Church, and they needed a pastor. And so I've been doing some guest preaching, and one of them is probably about 90 to 100 members, and the other one about 25 to 30. And I was there one Sunday, and God spoke to me, and he said, invite them to the altar to pray. And I thought, how's that going to work out? Because there is room for a pulpit and a piano. And I'm not talking a grand piano. I'm talking an upright piano. And I can touch the piano as I'm preaching. And there is really nowhere for them to come. And I'm thinking this, and I heard God say, would you stop already? Just do what I'm asking you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. And I said, okay, God. So I did. I prayed. I invited them to come to the altar. I went down. I sat in my pew, and I kneeled there and prayed. And when I got off my knees, they not only made it to the altar, y'all. There were people laying face first in the aisles, praying. And praise God that I didn't go on what I thought would be right, but on what he asked me to do. And I believe that day that God was so pleased with the worship that he saw in that small country church. So cool to watch as they poured out their all to Jesus. You see, worship is when we give our deepest affection and our highest praise to God. Did you know that worship is the only thing you can give to God that he has not given you? I'm going to say that again. Worship is the only thing that you can give to God that he didn't already give you. He gave you life, and he gives you everything to sustain that life. He gives you love and food and water and health and wealth. And in response, we're to give him our praise and worship him. Worship's not merely a ritual or a routine. It's a sacred journey of the heart, a divine encounter that we should have with the Almighty God. Worship at its core is an expression of our reverence and our love and our devotion to God. It's an intimate communion with the Creator of the universe. It's this holy exchange where we offer ourselves wholeheartedly to him. As we meet here for corporate worship, I know God is pleased, for sure. But worship goes beyond just once a week in church. Worship, our worship to our Almighty God should be 7 days a week. The biblical definition of worship is when we love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and it's when we put God first in our hearts and our lives. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5 says this, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." And then when we look in the verses that contrast that, they're in Matthew 15, verse 8 through 9, and it says this, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God." So as you can see, this clearly explains that our worship is about our heart and about giving it all to God. True worship involves surrendering ourselves completely to God, laying down our burdens and our fears and our desires at his feet. It requires vulnerability and authenticity, allowing God to work in us and through us, molding us into the vessels of his grace and his love. Worship should be a continual outpouring of everything that I am and everything that I do. It's this total submission and obedience. It's when I focus my attention and my affection and humble myself before God because of his greatness. It's to know God truly and to respond with my whole heart, soul, and all of my strength. Worship is a theme that we see throughout the scripture. We see it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It's an attitude that comes from the inside out. And the scripture tells us we must worship in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 and the 23rd verse says this, "But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way." God is a spirit, and he's present everywhere, and he can be worshiped anywhere and at any time. Where we worship is not important to God, but how we worship is important. And the act of obedience to his request for worship is important. So let me ask you this. Are you putting your whole heart, soul, and all of your strength into your worship? And is it genuine? Is it authentic? Is it true? And are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Or are you just going through the motions? We need to remind ourselves that worship is an encounter with a living and a holy God. We have to take this, we can't take it lightly. We have to take it seriously. Worship is an integral part of our relationship with God. When we worship, we're expressing our love and our gratitude and our awe of Him. The very act of bowing down and kneeling shows that we recognize that He's sovereign. And it shows that we have a heart that is humble and that we're surrendering to Him this supreme authority, and we're acknowledging His greatness. We're acknowledging that we need Him. When I was in seminary, we studied worship. And one of the books we read was titled, Worship is a Verb. So that means what? It's active, right? It's not passive. So this afternoon, we'll be cheering on the Chiefs, raising our hands, clapping, and we'll be hoarse by tomorrow from all the yelling. But sometimes in worship, it's like being at a Carolina Panthers game or a Chicago Bears game. Yeah, no one's smiling or clapping, not a lot of cheering going on. Y'all, when we come to church, this should be a time of worship to the one who loves us the most, to the one that created us, to the one that woke us up this morning. Yeah, and in fact, when we come to worship, the music should really just be background noise. Yeah? You know, I come, 8 o'clock is my service because it's not quite as well populated as this one. And I can sit in the back row, sometimes by myself, and get my worship on. And if you come in and sit next to me at the 8 o'clock, you may leave with a black eye. I'm just going to tell you up front. But I love to get back there and worship. I'm going to tell you, there are days when I get here, I don't feel like it. I do not feel like it, but I become overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, and I begin to worship, and I feel so much better after I do. I'll also tell you that that's not something that I have always done. It's difficult sometimes, and it seems weird when you first start. I can remember the first time that the Holy Spirit touched me, and my worship really become abandoned. And I just let loose, and whatever the Holy Spirit wanted to do in and through me, I allowed that. I was at one of the lowest times in my life, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and my worship changed from a time of singing and checking the box to a daily time of praise and glory to a God that gave His Son for me, even though He knew I'd disappoint Him. I want to give you some scriptures about the why behind our worship. Psalms 100, and this is verse 2 through 3, says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people and the sheep of His pasture." This psalm reminds us that we were made to serve and worship the Lord with joy and thanksgiving. Psalms 95:6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." This verse encourages us to bow down and worship the Lord. It emphasizes humility and reverence that we should have towards God, who is our Creator. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." This verse reminds us that we're created for God's glory. Our purpose is to glorify him through our worship and service. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." This verse emphasizes that not only were we created by God, but everything that exists was created through him and for him. It's a reminder that our worship and service to God is part of his ultimate plan. Revelation 4:11 says this, "Worthy are you, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what pleased you." This verse is a declaration of worship to God as the creator of all things. It recognizes God's authority and his power as the one who brought everything into existence. And these are just a few of those scriptures. After the last service, I got excited because some people came to me and they were sharing some services or some scriptures that God had laid on their heart about worship. So these are just a few. Did you realize that worship really began in the Garden of Eden? But it was interrupted by the fall. And the first time then that we actually see the word worship in the scripture is in Genesis 22 and verse 5. It says, "Stay here with the donkey. Abraham told the servants, 'The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we'll come right back.'" You know the story about Abraham and his act of worship. His act of worship was to willingly surrender his son Isaac, who he loved so dearly. No band, no microphone, no worship team, no music. There were only two people at a worship service, a father and a son and an altar. Abraham demonstrated obedience and a profound act of worship and submission to God. That's what we should do. Worship is being obedient to God. It's less about the song or the service. It's less about the team. And like the story of Abraham and his son, it really is more about the altar. Romans 12, verse 1 through 2. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." I want to give you six ways to worship God daily. Number one, start your day with him in prayer. All right, has anyone else fallen into the technology trap? Yeah? Yeah, me too. So we wake up every morning and we pick up the phone first thing, right? Well, of course we do, because our alarm is on the phone these days. And so we pick up the phone. And if you are like me, I think, all right, just let me glance and see if I received any important texts through the night. And that starts it, right? So I'm looking, and as I look, I probably should respond to that right away, because now that I've looked at it, I'll forget it later. Let me just respond. And then when I finish doing that, I begin with the emails. And I have four email accounts. So I have our church email account, Asbury email account, I have BJC email account, and then I have my personal email account. And so I begin, and I start looking at them, and I should probably respond to that right away. That is probably urgent. And I continue, and before you know it, I got up early to pray. And I've taken up that entire time on my phone. And so my prayer time is interrupted. I was talking to one of the girls in my accountability group, And she was saying she is making it a priority right now in her life to put the phone down. I think we could all benefit from putting the phone down for just a little bit. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success." Put God first. Number two, pray intentionally throughout the day. You know, it's so easy to say a quick prayer and to check the box, but we really should be intentional about spending time in prayer. It is a form of worship to God. Of course, he wants to hear about everything that's going on in our lives, and he wants us to confess our sins. But remember, a big part of prayer should be worship, worship to God. Number three, read and study the scripture. Study being the key word here. I can't tell you how many years I read the Bible to check the box. And I really didn't know what it was saying. I just continued to read. Oh, I knew all the good stories because I learned those in Sunday school. But to really study God's word, it's not what I was doing. Joshua 1:18 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips and meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." You can't know what's in it unless you've read it, right? And you understand it. So let me give you some questions to ask as you begin your reading and meditation. Start by asking these things. What is the promise God's trying to tell me in the scripture? What is the lesson that I should be learning from this passage? And is there a command here that I am to obey? What is the sin that is in here that I should be avoiding? And is there a change I need to make in my attitude, a change in my behavior, or a change in my life? Really study those scriptures. Ask those questions. If you have a hard time with studying of scriptures, Reverend Shane has written some books that will help walk you through some of the books of the Bible. You also can get involved in our Read Through the Word. If you want more information about that, you can find that information at the Sync Center. Number four, write down things that you are thankful for and keep the list with you. And let it remind you throughout the day to worship and to give God praise. 1 Chronicles 16:34 tells us to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. So write down what you're thankful for. Number five, turn your complaints into praise. Oh dear. We are complainers, right? Oh, I have to confess, y'all, in between services here, I was doing some complaining about how cool it was and those sorts of things. And God brought me back to my sermon. I said to somebody, oh, that's in my sermon this morning. And here I sit and I'm complaining. We are complainers. We complain about even the smallest of things. And we share our complaints because, well, I guess we figure that everybody else wants to hear them too. I don't know. And yes, I am guilty as charged. Try this. When you start to complain about something, take a second and turn it into praise. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Turn your complaints into worship and praise. Number six, glorify God in whatever you do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." This verse reminds us that our worship is not limited to specific activities or specific times of the day. We're called to glorify God in everything that we do, recognizing that everything about our lives is a form of worship. When we worship, we're experiencing a glimpse of heaven. Have you ever thought about that? Revelation 5, verse 12 through 13 says this. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. And they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." This verse emphasizes the fact that all creatures are going to ultimately recognize the greatness of God and worship him. Do you remember the story of Job? The story of Job shows how worship to God can sustain a person through any adversity. Job was rich and famous, and he lost it all. All of his possessions, his children, and his own health. But you know what? He still refused to curse God. And in fact, look what he does in Job chapter 1, verse 20. Job stood up and he tore his robe in grief. And then he shaved his head and he fell to the ground to worship. "I came naked," he said, "from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." Job is grieving, and yet he worships. How many of us are grieving today? Maybe you have lost a loved one. Maybe you have something going on with your health. Maybe you've lost a child, a career, a marriage. Maybe you've just lost the way that things used to be. You're grieving that. Or maybe you're grieving the way you thought that things would have been and would have turned out, and they didn't. Worship is the best way to heal. Worship is the best way to deal with brokenness and dysfunction and the dreams that we had that never came true. You know, it's okay to have questions and to have our whys, but don't let that stop you from worship. Job had a lot of questions, but he fell and worshiped. In the scripture, when God visits Job, he didn't answer any of his questions, did he? In fact, he asked Job more questions. If you think you have questions, just wait till God asks you some questions. But at the end of it all, the Bible says that God restored everything that Satan stole from him. In conclusion, remember this. Number one, God is not guilty of doing anything but loving us. Number two, Satan is not innocent. He is a liar and he wants to rob us of everything good that God gives us. And number three, we are not worthy of anything, but because God gave his son for our atonement, we're made worthy. By the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are made worthy. And because of that, he is worthy of our praise and worship. You know, you can choose not to worship, or you can worship and let God walk you through every dark valley without being afraid. And you can be in the fire, but you'll not get burned. And like Daniel, you can be in the lion's den and never be harmed if you choose to worship. The scripture tells us that Job fell down and he worshiped. When you don't have the answers, and when you don't get the answers you want, worship anyway. Get on your knees before God, who is worthy of our worship and our praise. Worship and give him praise and trust him with all the rest. Let him take care of it. When you don't understand what's going on and you don't know what to do in the mess, when you've prayed about it, you've anointed it, and you've cast out the demons, and you still have no answers, get on your knees and worship. If you read in Job, the second chapter, his life got even worse. Job had no idea what was going on, but he worshiped. And the scripture then says, but God. Say it with me. But God. One more time. You can do better than that. But God. But God restored it all. Do you need to be restored today? Are you looking to God for your restoration? Worship him. You say, Pastor Carmen, you have no idea what I have done. You have no idea what I've been through, and you have no idea what I'm going through. No, you're right, I don't, but God does. Worship God and watch God come on the scene and do great and mighty things that you could never imagine. Y'all, life's messy, and we all have problems. Problems with our family. Some of you have problems with your children, finances, aging parents, our health, our careers. But if we'll focus on Jesus and worship him, we'll find that he will fix everything. When is the last time that you actually fell on your face in worship and totally surrendered to God? You know what? I'm going to invite you to do that today. We're going to have a time of prayer. The prayer partners will be here up front. And if you would like somebody to pray with you, come and they'll pray with you. They'd love to pray with you. Or if you just want to come and worship here at this altar, I invite you to do that. Maybe you want to come and drop your green stone in the Ebenezer, and we would like to celebrate your miracle, and we want to worship with you that you've received your miracle. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us, and thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Father, we're going to keep trying to get it right. Thank you, Father, for your Son. Thank you, Father, that we even have the opportunity to worship. And Father, we pray that you will help us in our worship. All these things we pray in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.